Today is Sunday, August 18th, 2019, and this...
So, drink up, go outside, and live your lives.
And thank you all for spending this hour with us. I hope you enjoyed the complimentary refreshments.
Okay, people, let's leave the cups inside. We're not in Vegas here.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 703.
Las Vegas!
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. Does my voice sound weird?
No.
Okay. I feel like it does. I don't know why.
I feel like we're out of practice a little bit.
We are. I know. Last week we took off, so here we are playing catch up.
Really have anything to talk about?
No, there wasn't a lot. And you know, even having a week off, there's not a ton in the news this week either, but we've got a few things, and we've got some phone calls, and we get to talk about Las Vegas, so that's why we're here, and that's fun. All right. So before we jump into stuff, I want to remind everybody we have an event coming up. It's going to be great fun.
It's less than 2 months away.
I know. So I'm kind of starting to get into that.
Panic mode?
It's not complete panic yet. It's moderate anxiousness.
Ah, okay.
So that's the precursor to complete freak out.
All right. Do you have an anxiety level like we used to have a terror threat level? Well, we probably still do, but we just don't really.
Yeah, I don't have an assigned color chart, though. I should probably come up with some sort of a scale of, I don't know where I am. I'm pretty low right now, but it's there. Yeah, because I'm starting to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I get into all those usual things. Like, what, for example, what if we had the summit after 2 weeks like this where there's very little Las Vegas news? I always have that as, it, you know.
That, you always hoard stuff, though.
I try to hoard things going in, and we try to do some things while we're there to review, so we'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
We'll be fine, but it's still there. I still have that little bit of what if, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be good. It'll be fun. It's going to be nice to see everybody again. October 12th to the 14th at the D Las Vegas. That is where we will be. We've got a lot of events coming up as part of that. Vegas Costume Clash, if you're coming. Vegas costume, no masks, but other than that, go nuts. It's going to be great fun. We're going to be judges, and I think I'm probably still going to costume up, even though I'm a judge. I have a couple possible ideas. I don't know. I'm not comfortable with any of them. But we'll find something. There's going to be a slot tournament. There's going to be some other stuff we haven't announced yet. I believe there's of course the main event where we will be doing this podcast live. And you can watch my anxieties live from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great. And then, of course, there's just all the hanging out in between. That's always a big part of this.
Yep.
Like, the show is great. We put a lot of work into the show, and Aaron and...
Hunter.
Hunter put a lot of... Yeah, whatever his name is.
That guy.
No, they put a lot of work into the show. We all do. We want to give you a great main event. But then there's all this stuff around it, and just the hanging out at the bar, and the camaraderie, and the Vegas nerdery, and all those things are really fun. So... Mm-hmm. Join us if you can, October 12th through the 14th. You can get all the details at VegasNerdSociety.com. Keep an eye on the Vegas Nerds Twitter account. And, of course, we'll be talking about it more here as we work our way up to it. I hope a lot of people get involved in the costume contest.
Yes.
That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of options for Vegas-themed costumes. You've got your movies. You've got your celebrity chefs. You've got your performers.
Mm-hmm.
You've got
your landmarks.
Landmarks. Yeah, somebody could... Go as the Welcome to Las Vegas sign if they were super creative. They, you know, there's tons of options. So I hope people get into it. I think it could be a good time.
Yeah, I had an idea, and then as I started to try to figure out how to execute that idea, especially with fitting stuff into a suitcase,
yes, that's
I
a
abandoned
challenge.
That pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yep. Are you going to? Oh yeah, you've got something. That's right.
I do have something.
That's right. Yeah, that'll be fun. All right. So I hope that we see. many of you there and that you come prepared to be part of our costume fun. And anyway, I'm looking forward to it a lot. So despite my anxieties. So that's coming up. Before we jump into news, I always like to remind everyone this podcast is listener supported by our Patreon patrons, including Crystal Ann Curry, Catherine Jackson and Dan Nostman, Bob Dickerson, Philip Guest, Tara O'Neill, and Bill Palmer. Thanks to these and all of our Patreon patrons. We do appreciate it. You can check it out and sign up at patreon.com/5hundy for all the details. We've got several different tiers. We give you some bonus content as our way of saying thank you. And a good time is had by all. All right. So, some Las Vegas news in the last couple weeks. The thing that I think is the most noteworthy or interesting, and it just came up, I believe, yesterday, is that the new owners of the Hard Rock have made some changes to their plans to transition the hotel and casino to Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. They're still doing that, of course, but they are changing the timeline a little bit. They had, last time they discussed it, and I think this has already changed a couple times, but last time they announced what they were going to do, they were going to begin renovations after the Super Bowl in February, and they were going to remain partially opened for about 4 months. And they've decided, and then they were going to completely close for about 4 months and then reopen as Virgin Hotels. That has changed. They are now planning on completely shutting down after the Super Bowl for all of 2020, or all the remaining part of 2020, and then reopening in January 2021. I think this is a wise move.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen what happens during these transitions when they don't shut down completely.
Mm-hmm.
Park MGM is the latest example.
Yeah.
We've seen it at the Link as well, where they've done substantial renovations and remained open.
It's harder to do.
I think it's harder for the workers.
Yeah.
But it's also not great for the guests.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a kind of a secondary issue for the hotels if they do choose to do that, because maybe they see, you know, we can continue to pull in revenue.
Right.
The long-term effect of that, though, is that if guests have a substandard experience, which they generally will because of all the construction, the noise, the disruption, the limited, the limited restaurants and amenities available to them, they will then leave a review on one of the many travel sites online, and those reviews live forever. And if you have 4 or 8 or 10 months of
crappy
bad reviews, that's going to skew the ratings for a long, long time. So I think it's wise for many, many reasons for them to do this. So it's I think it's welcome news.
Do workers get paid during this?
They don't. They have a I didn't read the details on this, but they have some sort of a stick around and come back program.
Bonus,
I'm not sure what that consists of. Like, I don't
know
if it's a bonus or I'm not exactly sure what, but there's something where they're providing encouragement for people to do that. So we'll see. I mean, it does vary depending on the property, but they're certainly trying to keep people if they can. So that is happening. And official who discusses this was in the Review Journal, by the way. The person who talked about it said that the January 2021 date is still a moving target. So maybe a little bit later into 2021, but we'll see. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing what they come up with. Mm-hmm. The Hard Rock is a nice place. I like it. But having seen one of the Virgin properties,
that's a nice place too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and especially the room product. I'm curious to see what they do as far as the rates.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, because they're pretty pricey. If you look at their Chicago and San Francisco recently opened, they're very expensive.
Well, San Francisco's pricey anyway.
Yeah,
and then. Yeah.
This where it's a boutique hotel, but it's a little bit different. It gives you, I don't know. I like the style and everything about this. I'm just curious how it will fit into Vegas pricing.
You just like the Smeg appliances.
What was that? The refrigerator?
Uh-huh.
That was the brand Smeg.
Yep.
I was somewhat offended by that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there you go. Virgin Hotels coming soon. I suspect we're going to have a lot to talk about with this as they make announcements of restaurants and other things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they were going to keep open was the theater where Magic Mike Live is performing. So that will not be happening. That show has apparently been a success. So there have been some rumors that it's going to be moving to another venue. maybe SLS. Hmm. So we'll see. I'm sure we'll be talking about that if it happens as well. All right. What else? Over at Palazzo.
Love shopping.
I do love shopping, as do you. You've backed off the shopping significantly in our time doing this podcast.
I have.
You're not as big of a shopaholic, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
What a dumb term.
Yeah. Just slap a holic on anything.
Yes.
It's like a holic and gate. Like has something any... gate. No, it was the name of the hotel.
Has anyone ever missed a day of work for being a chocoholic?
Probably, no,
then it's not a holic. Let's stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, there's going
to
be...
I tried to eat an entire bag of peanut butter M&Ms once. That was a mistake.
How big of a bag?
Like the
half pounder?
Yeah. Not half pound. Well, I don't know.
Like, I could do that. The family? Yeah.
Not the family size. Well, it was more than a snack size.
But if it's just the regular bag of peanut butter M&Ms you buy at the store,
yeah,
that's not an achievement. That's...
I did not feel great.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I remember writing a poem about it.
Oh my, how long ago was this?
This was college.
6 months ago.
Yeah.
Do you have said poem handy? I'd like to hear it.
Probably not.
Was it? Oh, I have so many questions now. We're going to discuss this further later on.
I was a different person then.
All right. I've got some bad poetry from my high school years around here.
Don't
somewhere.
We all?
So. All right, let's not discuss that any further. Let's talk about what's going on at Palazzo. There's going to be a lot of retail space available there because as part of a bankruptcy reorganization, Barney's is closing a bunch of its stores around the country, and that includes the Las Vegas outlet, which is 85,000 square feet. That's a lot of space in a mall.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. They haven't said exactly what the timetable is for this, I don't think, but it'll be fairly soon. I can't imagine there are a ton of retailers clamoring to get into an 85,000 square foot space on the Las Vegas Strip. Rent has got to be ridiculously mm-hmm. expensive, thus the upscale nature of Barney's.
Mm-hmm. I went in there exactly once.
I forgot that it was there. I remember we discussed it when it was announced or when it opened. Mm-hmm. But
I went in there shortly after it opened, looked at the clearance rack, saw a pair of Manolos, decided, you know, I really don't need to be spending my money on this, and left.
Wise choice. I would imagine they will probably end up carving this up into several different spaces rather than having one big anchor retailer again, but who knows. At any rate, keep an eye out for more virtual reality theaters and esports arenas coming to Palazzo. That seems to be what gets put into any available retail space these days, but we shall see. So that's happening. No more Barney's. I don't remember even where at Palazzo that is. I know it's in the Grand Canal Shops, but I don't... Like, how do you get to it?
Because it was like three stories or something.
Yeah, I know,
it
it's big.
It took a substantial amount, but I think there were a myriad of ways you could approach Barney's.
Okay. Well, I'll never know. R.I.P. I'll dump out a 40 in its honor next time we're there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a restaurant that is closing, or it has closed, as part of the many changes happening at SLS as part of its ongoing renovations and conversion to Sahara Las Vegas. Vegas Changes reports that the pizza place 800 Degrees has closed. I'm sure this is not the last of the restaurant closures that we'll be discussing in the next few months. And most likely we will be discussing something replacing that space mm-hmm. soon too. So... whenever a major renovation like this happens, especially with new owners involved, there are a lot of restaurant changes. So there have already been a couple there, and I would expect a bunch more. So hopefully they'll put something decent in there. Downtown at Indianapolis, I'm not sure how I guess I have no feelings about this, but downtown at Indianapolis, there is a go-kart track.
Hmm. Would you be interested in said go-kart track?
No, I'm beyond my go-karting years. I like the idea, I guess, but not at this
juncture
in my life. I don't see myself cramming myself into a go-kart. The Gene Woods Racing Experience opened last week. This is, I guess they have an off-strip location as well. And I don't know what the rates are because their website sucks and they didn't even have the Neonopolis location listed on their website yet. So it's on the first level of Neonopolis, adding to the weird hodgepodge of stuff they have there.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the new karaoke bar. They've got the selfie, whatever the fuck that is.
Mm-hmm. The axe throwing thing.
There's an axe throwing thing. The selfie thing is just you pay and go in and take your selfie by stuff. There's the closed cannabis museum.
Mm-hmm.
They've got
toy shop.
They've got an arcade. They've got a tattoo shop. So there's a lot of things going in there, and I'm curious what the shelf life of the go-kart track will be.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a little over a year is maybe the new average for Neonopolis, but we'll see. We'll see. I hope they stay open. Neonopolis needs stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The developer of Neonopolis told News 3 in Las Vegas that Neonopolis will be the biggest success story downtown Las Vegas has seen. A little late for that, I would say. This guy has run the place for like 20 years, and you're beyond the point of being able to declare yourself a success when it's taken this long to fill the shops.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the biggest comeback story in theory, but it's not going to be.
No.
So good luck to you, but you might want to tone down the hyperbole a bit there, Rohit Joshi. I was supposed to talk to that guy once. Do you remember that?
No.
I got I don't know if it was his assistant or his publicist or something, mm-hmm. contacted me, and like they really wanted me to sit down with him, and I started making plans, and then they completely backed out of it without, maybe they listened to the podcast.
I was going to say.
I think they might have heard me.
They probably heard you talking about Neonopolis in not so favorable terms.
The place where things go to die. Mm-hmm. But yes, so that was several years ago. I had kind of forgotten about it. But anyway, it's good to see that things are happening at Neonopolis, but I don't hold out great hope. It's hard to have optimism when it comes to that that particular establishment, mm-hmm. I would say. So there you go. But if you're looking for something possibly fun to do, go-karting. There's an option for you. All right. That's it for news, but I wanted to give a brief review of a new Las Vegas-related book, because I know that our Vegas nerds out there are always looking for new stuff that's Vegas-related, whether it's movies or TV shows or whatever. Actually, before I get into that, I want to mention TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Season 3 of Glow on Netflix is set in Las Vegas, but they didn't actually film anything there. And they don't even do the establishing shots or anything.
Huh.
There's like nothing. So they've got a fake Vegas casino. Part of the reason is because it's set in the mid-80s.
Oh.
And none of the places where they would have filmed. There's nothing in Las Vegas
anymore.
I mean, they could go to Peppermill or something, but there's nothing in Las Vegas as far as casinos that were suitable to mimic what they wanted to do. So it's all soundstage.
Speaking of things that were filmed on a soundstage, the first episode of the Beverly Hills 90210 reboot.
That was also partially set in Las Vegas, but was filmed in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So no Las Vegas there either.
They were trying really hard to make it look like the Flamingo, because they would have little flamingos here and there. But no, obviously it was not.
Yep.
And we watched one episode and then we said, all right,
this
we're
is
good.
Horrible. Yeah. So anyway, that's on the TV front. But on the book front, we've got a new book called Elvis in Vegas, How the King Reinvented the Las Vegas Show. It's by a guy named Richard Zoglin. Came out a few weeks back, and I read it. And I would recommend it to Vegas aficionados. Now, you might think it's not for you because maybe you don't give a shit about Elvis. But the Elvis aspect of it, I feel like the name of the book is a little bit misleading in a sense. While it's kind of centered around Elvis, the majority of content is not necessarily about Elvis.
Hmm.
The first, I don't know, 25-35% of the book, at least, maybe even more than that, there's a significant chunk of the book that's about Las Vegas entertainment history, specifically the beginnings of Las Vegas up through when Elvis performed there in 1969 and the early 70s. So if you're into entertainment history in Las Vegas, it's worth reading, even if you don't care that much about Elvis. The Elvis stuff is interesting. I like Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to a lot of Elvis, but I'm enough of an Elvis fan where I was interested in that part too. I almost think if you're a big Elvis fan and you're looking at this book to get a ton of new information about Elvis, you might be disappointed. While the information that's in there is good and an explanation of, you know, a lot of the things he did in the show and the impact on Las Vegas is interesting. It's not anything that's necessarily new ground, especially if you've read the what's the two set Elvis? Peter Grelnick,
yeah.
Is that the author? He wrote like the definitive Elvis biography. If you're a big Elvis fan, you want to read that.
Yes.
But in terms of a Las Vegas entertainment history book, this is pretty good. It's a nice companion to Mike Weatherford's book from way back. I think it was called Cult Vegas. That's another good one, and in fact, I think he quoted it a couple times in this book. So, yeah, if you're a Vegas nerd, it's a good book. There's some interesting things in there that I hadn't, that I didn't know. The only thing I wish that he had done, there's a little bit of information. So the whole concept is about how, or at least according to the title, Elvis reinvented the Las Vegas show. Mm-hmm. And yet the way that it's structured, you've got all this stuff about Vegas entertainment and then all this stuff about Elvis after it. It felt like there should have been a whole nother chunk after that about mm-hmm. entertainment since Elvis.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that in the early section, but it seems like it should have been more chronological so that there was a significant part about entertainment through the 70s, 80s, 90s, etc. There wasn't a ton of that. So some restructuring. But anyway, regardless of that, I did like the book. It was a pretty quick read. I would recommend it. And yeah, so thumbs up on that one. Seems like there's not a ton of new Las Vegas books. For a while,
There seemed to be a bunch, and then
but that was a long time ago, mm-hmm. and I still reread though some of those on occasion. Some even though they're dated, but yeah, there aren't as many Las Vegas books of this nature coming out. So check it out. I recommend it, and hooray for new Vegas stuff!
Yay!
All right, moving along.
I don't remember fucking anything, man.
All right, we're going back to show number 322 from October 2011. I thought since we were talking about Neonopolis, we'd look back to a short-lived Neonopolis establishment. Mm-hmm. In October of 2011, we were discussing the announcement that there was going to be a drag bar opening at Neonopolis called Drink and Drag.
Hooray.
They were taking over part of the former Jillian's complex. So I think Jillian's was one of the original tenants at Neonopolis. Mm-hmm. And that was like a bowling and arcade kind of family fun center.
Yeah.
And it didn't last super long. They were able to use that space when Drink and Drag opened for bowling as well as darts and pool. And they had a dance floor and a stage. And the whole concept was that the whole thing was staffed by drag queens. Mm-hmm. We did go there. We reviewed it on a podcast.
We had fun.
It was a good time. I did enjoy myself while mm-hmm. I was at Drink and Drag. Although it was originally opened or announced to be opened in December 2011, it was delayed multiple times before finally opening in May 2012. However, its presence in downtown Las Vegas was short-lived. October 13th saw the closure of Drink and Drag along with its sister establishment, Crave Massive, which was a gay bar that previously had existed on the Strip and then moved, or near the Strip, was on Harmon. And then it moved to Neonopolis around the same time Drink and Drag opened. They both closed in October 2013 when they had their liquor license pulled for questionable business practices. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the specifics. There was all kinds of shady stuff happening with, mm-hmm. with Crave Massive. And
management wasn't great.
Yeah, not good. So that did not last. In fact, I believe the Crave sign is still hanging up in Neonopolis. At least when I visited there during one of our most recent trips, that it was still there. They have not taken that down yet. So the Drink and Drag space is now occupied by the Nerd, which is it's a lot like Drink and Drag without the drag queens mm-hmm. in terms of what they have there. Now they have more, I think, more video game and nerd cosplay culture kind of stuff going on. But they still have the same bowling lanes. And I peeked my head in when I was at Neonopolis, and it looks very similar. In fact, I think they used one of the old signs. It might be one of the old Jillian signs still. Hmm. It says, like, bowling. And they just, like, tacked the Nerd on top of it. Hmm. So the interior of that that structure has not changed significantly, but the actual bar has. So there you go. That is a thing that is no longer there. All right. We have a few phone calls this week. Would you like to hear them?
Sure.
All right. Let's hear them. Beginning with
Tim, Michelle, Chris from Santa Cruz calling. In the middle of a 6-day Vegas trip that is longer than I have ever stayed in the city, and I'm trying to pace myself. Anyway, staying at the Four Seasons this time, here with the wife. She wanted to stay here. It's her favorite place, so I go where she goes. Just an important safety tip for people who come to the Mandalay Bay / Four Seasons. If you are not on a strip view, it means you are basically getting a view of McCarran, so it's an airport view more than anything else. Just a quick dining update, too. We were here at the tail end of the Black Cat Conference, and it was packed. And then we decided to eat for lunch one day, and we had a chance to either eat at Citizen, which looked full of people but looked very industrial, or we decided to take a chance and go eat across the way at Fleur, which is, I think, Hubert Keller's place. Anyway, taking a bit of a risk, we were the only ones eating lunch at 2, but the food was good. The sandwiches were really well executed. I had a very nice BLT. My wife had a vegetable sandwich. Barbecue vegetable sandwich, something, some vegetarian thing. Anyway, food was amazingly good and competent. So, kind of a surprise there. So just remember, kids, if it looks industrial, it probably is industrial. And sometimes you just need to take a chance on something that is, not the common path. Anyway, I'll call with more updates later. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thank you for that report. Appreciate it. I don't mind having an airport view room. I kind of like watching the planes. I'm not a big like airplane geek, but I kind of like having that on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of soothing to watch airplanes take off and land.
Yeah.
All right. We'll hear more from Chris shortly. In the meantime, let's get this restaurant update.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Michelle. Just went to Taco Del Gordo, and there's a new sign out that says they're closing October 19th. However, apparently a new location is already open. It says it's a one-minute walk away, which must mean it is north because I walked from the south and it wasn't there. So just wanted to share that with you. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that report. Yeah, it's really weird right now. They have two Tacos El Gordos like a block apart.
Yeah.
So
that doesn't surprise me that one of them is.
No. The old one is closing. The new one, which is if you, like he said, continue walking north, just like across the entrance to the parking lot, it's like right there. So not any less convenient than the current one. And I'm not sure, I haven't been in the new one. I don't know if it's any larger or not.
Yeah, but it'd be nice if they had more seating.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. Call number two from Chris.
Hey, Tim, hey, Michelle. Chris from Santa Cruz calling. Calling with a food update. I made a special trek to go eat at Gordon Ramsay's fish and chips shop at the Link. And I wanted to hate on that place so much. I went there, and it's a typical tourist trap for a celebrity chef. There's lines out the door. It's crowded. It's messy. It's dirty. I was totally prepared to hate on the fish and chips, and I just couldn't do it. The fish and chips are really, really good, quite possibly some of the best fish and chips I've ever had. So if you're willing to stand in line and willing to feel like a complete tourist, and you're just dying for some fish and chips, and you're at Link, I can recommend it. I know that sounds like a pretty weak recommendation, but like I said, I really wanted to hate on those fish and chips, but the coating was crisp, and the fish was cooked just perfectly. I don't know how they do it at mass production scale like that, but they pulled it off. So I guess kudos to Gordon Ramsay. Anyway, I'll call with some more stuff later. Bye.
All right. Hate to break it to you, but if you're on the Las Vegas Strip,
you're a tourist.
You're a tourist. If you want to be a not tourist, go somewhere else. That's what I say.
Mm.
I love being a tourist in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's fun about the city. Okay. Why are people so embarrassed to be tourists?
I don't know.
Why does that have such a bad stigma?
Maybe people think it means they're just like seeing stuff on the surface and not really digging into the heart of the city.
I get that, but some cities aren't worth digging into. Some are. Some have great history and interesting things.
Would you like to name some cities that aren't worth digging into?
Las Vegas, Nevada. I've covered this many times.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tourist city, and the stuff beyond that is there's some decent things, but it is at its heart a tourist destination. That is its purpose, and it does it very well. There are others like Orlando. If you're going to go to Orlando, like, what are you going to go and see the locals' restaurants in Orlando? No, you're going to go to fucking Disney shit and theme parks and all that bullshit. That's what they do well. That's why you go there. So, all right. I don't need to cover all that again, do I?
No.
I don't think so. Moving on.
Hi, this is Ron, and I am calling you from behind the queue at the Four Queens. I have a canopy room at the Four Queens facing Fremont. I've stayed on the canopy room twice now, same room right behind Four Queens. I was scared to do it for a long time because of the noise level. That's not really a problem if you just go to sleep around the noise. Fremont Street noise kind of dies down around 3, picks back up around noon. So as long as you go to sleep around the partying, it's fine. But for neon fans and neon museum, you can just look out and see the Fremont Street neon, the neon off Fort Queen sign, and Binion's. And this really works for me because this is like my favorite intersection in the world. But I just wanted to share my joy about these rooms and that you can actually get a canopy room and actually get some sleep if you do some careful planning. The room itself is great, nice and spacious. One of the more spacious rooms I've stayed at the Fort Queen. The bathroom's adequate. I guess that's it. With the stand at Four Queens, you get access to the Binion's pool, and your mileage may vary, but there were some patrons there topless yesterday. So, you know, like I said, my mileage may vary. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Love the podcast. Bye-bye.
Well, that's going to get some people over to the Binion's pool.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my concern about staying in the Four Queens canopy room. Even if you are doing the 3 a.m. sleeping time, I have concerns about that noon noise startup time because I've spent many a morning at the Four Queens King's Bar.
Oh, yes.
Serenaded to the bucket drummers who set up outside every day at about 8:30 or 9. So I would be very concerned about trying to sleep with a brigade of...
Yeah.
Guys pounding on 5-gallon pails.
Mm-hmm.
Very unpleasant.
Even when you're awake,
why do people tip? Why do people tip them?
I don't know.
Stop it, people. Stop encouraging this non-talent.
Also drives the bartenders nuts.
I think most of them are able to tune it out. Yeah. But yeah, I think they become so used to it. But bucket drummers or... former ventriloquist guy who's no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you, if you had to,
this oh is, God.
If you had to have one while you're trying to play video poker, man. And enjoy yourself.
I have to say the bucket drummers because ventriloquist guy, like I have a special kind of rage for him.
I think I can tune out the buckets a little bit better just because, it's a constant noise
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just bothered me.
I'm glad he's gone. I don't know where he went. I presume he didn't die.
Right.
I hope not.
But we don't wish him ill. We just wish him, to not have to witness his act.
I just wish him a new homeland.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's check in again with Chris.
Hey, Michelle. Chris from Santa Cruz calling. We ate at Lago during this trip. We went on a Thursday at about 2 p.m., which was just after the lunch rush. We managed to get a reservation. We used OpenTable to go get something, and they sat us right next to the glass window, which is great because we could actually see the Bellagio fountain show. As far as the food itself, it's done by Julian Serrano, who's like the Vegas tapas guy, and Lago was the Italian version of tapas, which I know tapas is Spanish, but whatever, small place. Food was good. Wasn't mind-blowing, but it was definitely good. So if you're in mid-strip and it's a late afternoon, that's a good time to go to Lago because it was pretty empty and we got a table right up front. We eaten at a lot of good restaurants this trip, and most of our eating has been outside of the normal lunch hour rush, which has served us quite well. So if you can wait an extra couple hours, it seems to have done the trick. Got better. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that report and all of your calls. Mm-hmm. Thanks to all of our callers this week.
That's a good tip if you want to go somewhere that's quite popular and you want to go at an off time, you have a better chance of getting in.
We've had pretty good luck with that strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I recommend it. All right, if you want to call our voicemail line, we would love to hear from you with your reviews, your thoughts, your observations. 702-866-9494. Program it into your phone. Call us early and often. Before we get out of here, we've got some karma donations to thank folks for. Patty, she and her sister are going to Vegas to celebrate her 50th. Actually, I think that just happened.
Yep.
She said that she hopes they don't kill each other. I hope that you didn't kill each other as well. Or that if you did, that you came out victorious.
Nice.
Karen heading out on Friday to run the ET. I didn't know this was a thing. the ET Area 51 half marathon. This is not the Area 51 invasion that is so ill-advised. Mm-hmm. They've been hearing so much about. Apparently, there's a half marathon there. She said, this is the don't get bit by a snake and die karma donation.
Ooh.
Again, I hope that you did not or do not.
Yeah.
I think this is a past thing. Get bit by a snake. That would be not fun.
No.
I wonder if she Naruto ran.
What?
That was the whole thing with the Area 51 run. There was the whole, like, they can't catch us all if we
go at once.
Naruto run, which is a reference to some cartoon or some shit. And it's this really funny style of running.
Okay.
It's supposed to make you more aerodynamic and fast.
Huh.
I wonder if people did that during the marathon. Look it up. It's a thing. I don't know where it originates. Matthew, with a first-time karma donation, said he hope it works out. Last-minute trip, staying at the D. I hope it worked out for you as well.
Too.
Thank you, sir. Charles, with a karma donation for a two-night stay at Wynn Comp through the Wynn Slots app, which I have become a slave to, by the way.
Oh, every time I look at you, you're playing the Wynn app.
I have it up on my phone all the time, just constantly playing, and then... at some point, we're going to have a long-ass stay there. We're going to have many room nights. I can't stop, even though I'm like, I'm probably never going to cash some of this in. My hope is that at some point they add other stuff beyond rooms, and we'd be able to cash in some of this stuff for some food comps. But I don't know if they'll do that or not. Anyway, Charles said he's hoping the gambling is a bit better than his last trip and said, thanks for the laughs. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Glad you're still listening to the show. Mm-hmm. Randall, looking for some help with his third trip this year, which is happening in, it starts today at the Cal. Due for some negative regression, help the VP gods continue to bless me with some positive mojo.
All right,
kick some ass. I hope you have a wonderful time and good luck. Ray, it's only been 45 days since our last trip to Vegas, but a friend invited us to Nashville for the weekend, and flights were cheaper to go through Vegas, so the obvious choice is to stay there 4 days first.
Why not?
That's the Vegas nerd. I love the justifications that the Vegas nerds come up with. Like, what? Any possible excuse. I love it. We're all the same. We all do it. My thing has been, and back when I had my other job and occasionally we'd have a convention in San Diego or somewhere.
Yep.
Well, I'm this close. I have to.
Yeah.
That was always the justification. So, yes, I love these things. Have a great time. Oh, and then he's going to be at the summit for the first time, too.
Yay.
Awesome. Looking forward to seeing you. Please make sure and say hello. A yearly karma donation from Cockblocker and Big Gay Steve.
All right.
I love the nicknames. I presume they're nicknames. It would be weird if that was on your birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be there in a few days. God help their livers, is what they said. Leslie Ann and Tony, this is our 11th trip from the UK to celebrate our daughter's 21st. We hope it brings us as much luck as our karma donation in April when we got a hand pay. Well,
yay.
I hope so, too. Good luck to all of you. Followed by a karma donation from Amelia, the aforementioned daughter of Leslie Ann and Tony, celebrating her 21st. With her parents and her brother William in the best city in the world. They are also big fans of the podcast.
Hey.
Well, that's awesome. It's a whole family thing. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Unless it's forced upon them. If it's forced upon them by their parents, you will listen. They just harsh punishment, making them listen to us every week if they don't like it.
That would be a harsh punishment.
Well, I hope you all have a wonderful time.
Yes. And
thank you all so much for your support of the podcast. You're all kinds of awesome. That is it for this week. I hope we have a big news week. I want some big, crazy, nutty shit to talk about next week.
Good nutty shit. Not bad.
Nothing bad. Just all this, a casino changing hands in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Or
something new being built or a good new restaurant coming.
Guy Fieri being shut down by the health department. Something fun.
Mm-hmm. Something fun.
All right.
Yes, let's clarify. Some big news that is fun.
500bymidnight.com is the website. 500@gmail.com is the email address. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, 702-866-9494 is that voicemail line. We will be back soon with another show. Until then, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.